Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff. To join us on the air, just dial toll-free 1-888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. To find out more about the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, just log on to our website at www.equip.org. Now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I want to invite everybody to join me in Alaska, June 3rd through the 10th, 2011. So that's coming up this year, not all that long from now. Everything in Alaska is bigger, including the adventures from the awe-inspiring blue ice of a massive glacial field to the expansive grandeur of its wildlife and nature. Alaska is a land of natural wonders. There's nothing that I'd like better than for you to join me for seven wonderful days of fellowship, for biblical teaching, for, of course, questions and answers, for beautiful sightseeing, adventurous expeditions, and time with your family and my family. Join me on this trip. And also join Grammy Award-winning Christian musician and songwriter Steve Camp, as well as Editor-in-Chief of the Christian Research Journal, Elliot Miller. Please consider joining the CRI team next May and allow us the pleasure of being able to get to know you and your family as we sharpen one another during this special week at sea. If you want more information, all you have to do is go to the World Wide Web at equip.org and click on the ship. Again, join me on an Alaska cruise June 3rd through the 10th. All of that coming up this year, June 3rd through the 10th. Go to equip.org, click on the ship, or else you can simply write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or you can talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Let's go to the phone lines. First up, let's talk to Carly. Carly's listening on WTRU in North Carolina. Hi, Carly.
Hi.
How are you?
My question is, it's about, I'm sure, one of the things you've been asked like a million times, but it's the verse in Hebrews 6:4-6. Mm-hmm. And I went to a Bible study this summer, and one girl that was doing it told me that basically if you reject Christ, which is the way she interpreted this verse, that, you know, you've lost your salvation. That's it. But at the same time, everybody I talk to, ministers, friends, everybody else I know, says that, no, there's no way you can lose your salvation. So I'm just, like, trying to understand this verse, and which is it, you know, because sometimes I have doubts about, you know, Christ and everything. I just kind of have questions. I'm a Christian, and I believe in Jesus Christ. He's my Savior and all that, but it's just, I'm just wondering about that, you know, like if I have doubts and, you know, things like that related to that verse.
Sure. Well, remember that Hebrews is written to Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And to fall back in the context refers to a Jew who falls back into Judaism, into bondage to the law already fulfilled through the finished work of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So this does not have to do, at least from my perspective, with possessing Christians, but rather possessing Christians are replaced by professing Christians who have a said faith. They say they believe, but when hardships come, they fall back into the cult of Judaism, which is to try to keep the law on their own account when the law has already been fulfilled through the account or on account of Jesus Christ alone.
Okay. Okay. Well, I guess listening to it in context does matter sometimes.
Yeah, so, it's all about context, isn't it?
And yeah, it is. And I mean, is there I know people say that there's no way to lose your salvation, but is there like one that specifically refers to not losing it?
Well, there are a number of verses, I think, that make that case pretty strongly. Mm-hmm. John 5:24 is a good verse. Mm-hmm. He who believes has eternal life. And the point here is not that you're going to have eternal life when you die. Mm-hmm. The point is that you have eternal life now as a present possession. Mm-hmm. And there's no sense in which the Bible says you must be born again mm-hmm. and again and again. In other words, you're born again, and then you lose your salvation, then you get born again, then you lose your salvation, you get born again. No, you have everlasting life. It begins at the point of conversion and stretches on throughout the eons of time. Mm-hmm. You also have 1 Corinthians 1:8. Christ will keep you strong to the end. Or Jude 24, God is able to keep you from falling and present you before his glorious presence without fault. Mm-hmm. I'd like to go to Ephesians as well, which provides the surety that you were marked in him with a seal, mm-hmm. the promised Holy Spirit, a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. So collectively, there are many verses, I think, that make the point that when Jesus Christ justifies you, he also begins a sanctification process in your life. So the one who saves you also sanctifies you. In other words, he is conforming you to his image daily, changing you to the time in which you will be glorified. So now you are in position righteous because you have the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Right.
But in the greatest size, you're going to have the righteousness that is not just positional but practical, because then you're going to be glorified and nothing impure will ever enter the new heavens and the new earth, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Right. Well, if you have, like, any doubts, I mean, not saying that, you know, I mean, I believe Jesus Christ died for me and, you know, he was resurrected, but is there anything as far as, like, if you just have, like, a moment of doubt or anything like that that, you know, enters your mind, is there anything that, you know, dooms us towards that?
Well, here's the point. I can't deal with every hypothetical. What I can deal with is this. If you realize you're a sinner, if you have repented of your sin and have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, you are his and he is yours. Does that mean that doubts will not crop up in your mind from time to time? Absolutely not. But you can always go back to those pillars and posts that you've given your life to.
Right.
God created the universe. Jesus Christ is God. The Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin. Therefore, you've given your life to something that is defensible. It's not a mere whim. It's objectively verifiable, true, real, substantive, something that you can cling to for life, not just now, but for life in the world to come. Mm-hmm. So you can have doubts, but you always go back to those pillars and posts of the faith to which you have given your life.
Right. Okay, well, thank you very much. You have helped me immensely.
Well, Carly, my pleasure. Good talking to you.
Thank you.
I want to go back to the phone lines now. Talk to Kathy, K-E-R-I, Bakersfield, California. Hi, Kathy.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Good. I had a question. I was reading in Job today, and when it talked about the angels and Satan going before God and, you know, him wanting to do what he did to Job, what came to my mind is, how do we know this took place? Where does it say that? Where can I read more about that? How do we know what took place in heaven? And you know what, may I hang up and just listen to you on the radio?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, how do we know that what we read in the Bible is true? What is the barometer by which we can say this is truth and something else is mythology. Well, we can go to the macro issue and we can look at the Book of Mormon. The Book of Mormon makes claims for all kinds of people, all kinds of particulars, all kinds of places. And when anthropology and archaeology are applied to the Book of Mormon, we find out that it's in deep trouble. It's not supported by anthropology. It isn't supported by archaeology. Exactly the opposite is true of the Bible. With virtually every turn of the archaeologist's spade, we find that what was once concealed in the soil corresponds to that which is revealed in the Scripture. So we can build a cumulative case for the notion that the Bible is the infallible repository of redemptive revelation, based on manuscript evidence, based on archaeological evidence, based on predictive prophecy, which cannot be pawned off to luck or good guessing or common sense. And so based on that cumulative case, we can say the Bible is reliable. We can trust what the Bible says to be true. And I'm writing about that even as we speak in a book titled, Has God Spoken? And I'm answering that question in the affirmative, laying down all of the evidence such that we can know beyond the shadow of a doubt that the Bible is in fact divine as opposed to being merely human in origin. Of course, the essence of the book of Job is the story of a man who loses everything. He loses his family, he loses his wealth, he loses his health, and then wrestles with the question, why? The book begins with a heavenly debate. The debate is between God and Satan, and then it moves through three cycles of earthly debates between Job and his friends and concludes with a dramatic divine diagnosis of what Job's problem is. Though Job's comforters accuse him of sin, and though he himself expresses doubts about God, speaking about the doubt that the last caller brought up, he maintains his faith in the face of intense suffering, and in the end, acknowledges the sovereignty of God in every aspect of life. So in essence, Job's legacy teaches us that the solution to our disappointment is not found in answering the question why, it's found in trusting God in the midst of our whys. Now you got to remember that while I can codify the essence of the book, I can also tell you that that book was written in an identifiable place. I can also tell you about genre. And if you learn how to read the genre properly, you can extract the essence out of the message. You can also look at the context in which it was written. Job was a man of tremendous wealth and social status. He lived during the time of the patriarchs. He lived at the time of Abram, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, in that time frame. And Job is among the earliest books of the Bible and takes place during a period of the patriarchs. And everything that we know about the patriarchs cashes out. In other words, we don't know everything about them. It hasn't been substantiated, for example, by archaeology. But what we know has been, or what we have found does substantiate what we find within the Bible. So we build a cumulative case for the Bible, and therefore we accept a biblical book as being divine as opposed to merely human in origin. By the way, there are principles of canonicity that we need to know about, because men do not determine what is canonical and what is not canonical. They only discover what God has determined based on what the principles of canonicity are. Canon means measuring or rule, and so there's a measure by which we can know whether a book belongs in the Bible as infallible, as inspired by God, or whether a book ought to be on a second footing. It might be good for historical purposes. In fact, the Bible quotes books which are not canonical, but they're on a different footing. All truth is God's truth. You can find truth in all kinds of places, but they're not canonical. So there is a measure by which you can determine what belongs in the Bible and what does not belong in the Bible. All of this is discussed in some detail in a flip chart that I did. It's available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. It's called Essential Christian Doctrine. And it gives you the essentials of the historic Christian faith in such a way that you can remember them in minutes and you can apply them in your life for the duration of your life. Again, the flip chart, Essential Christian Doctrine, Memorable Keys 2, Essential Christian Doctrine, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. It's a memorable guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults. Order online at equip.org for your gift, or write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000-CRI. We're going to come right back with a question on the abomination of desolation. Stay tuned for that.
Get connected with the Christian Research Institute. Just go to equip.org and click on the Get Connected tab and sign up for our weekly e-newsletter. When you receive our e-newsletter, you'll be informed of special discounts, well-researched articles, videos, featured resources, and everything you need to keep you up to date with all that the Christian Research Institute has to offer. So get connected today. Again, just go to equip.org. That's equip.org and click on the Get Connected tab. The Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff will return in just a moment. The Forefront, when doctrine meets daily life, is an equipping audio CD from the Christian Research Institute compiled from 6 insightful interviews on the Bible Answer Man. For your gift this month, we will send you this helpful CD as our way of saying thank you for your faithful prayers and support. Learn how to define and defend the biblical concept of family. Combat atheism with the truth about objective morality. Explain how the biblical grounds for divorce and remarriage actually protect and elevate the status of women. Respond to the cultural influence of social media and its place in your life. And refute Richard Dawkins and others who claim that Darwinian evolution is proven fact, and much more. Get your copy of The Forefront, when doctrine meets daily life, when you support the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go to equip.org.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
The millennial generation seeks to grasp moments of experiential transcendence from the offerings of consumer culture. By following the culture's life script, young adults place themselves at the center of a disenchanted universe, making themselves idols. Get a better understanding of Generation Y in the article titled Looking Under the Surface of the Millennial Generation. Friedrich Nietzsche is the patron saint of postmodernism and may currently be the most influential of the great philosophers. Learn how to respond to Nietzsche's anti-God, anti-truth philosophy in Hendrik van der Breggen's article Awakening from the Nightmare. Other topics include Mormon evangelism, theistic evolution, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today. 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
These are the last of the last days. Oh, somewhere between 2003 and 2005, Jesus will come back.
How much longer do you think we really might have?
I don't believe we have another 10 years.
Anywhere from now till 2018, Jesus Christ will appear to set up his thousand-year kingdom of revelation.
When will Jesus come back? The consensus is as varied as the number of so-called experts you ask. So where do you turn for definitive scriptural insight on the end times? Understanding Revelation is now within your grasp. The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff deals with today's most asked prophecy questions. It distinctively presents a method by which you can read the Bible for all it's worth. The Apocalypse Code. Find out what the Bible really says about end times and why it matters today by Hank Hanegraaff. Now available in softcover, you can order by calling 888-7000-CRI or by going online to equip.org. Has the Bible Answer Man broadcast impacted your life? Have you been equipped to defend your faith? If so, consider becoming a Bible Answer Man support team member. In doing so, you will be making an eternal investment in a ministry that equips believers to discern truth from error and to think Christianly about life's most important questions. As a new member of the Bible Answer Man support team, we will send you a copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, personalized by Hank. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is an indispensable resource that will not only provide answers to your questions, but equip you to answer questions raised by family and friends. To join the Bible Answer Man support team, just go to equip.org/donate. Again, that's equip.org/donate. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. And now, once again, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Eugene in Freehold, New Jersey. Hi, Eugene.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Look, my question was about Daniel and also about Mark 13:14.
Yeah.
The one that Jesus was telling his disciples about and the one that Daniel spoke about. Is that the same, or is it a future that Christ spoke about opposes past that Daniel spoke about?
Yeah, no, it's very interesting, because if you look at Matthew 24, which is the equivalent of the Mark passage, you have Jesus actually saying, when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and so forth. And, of course, Jesus applies that to his own generation. He says, I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. So the abomination of desolation spoken of by Jesus was prophesied 6 centuries earlier by Daniel. And Jesus now takes what happened in the second century under Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes, his desecration of the temple, and applies it to what is going to happen when the temple is not just going to be desecrated, but it is actually going to be destroyed. So in the fullness of time, what Jesus declared desolate was desolated by Roman infidels. They destroyed the temple fortress, they ended the daily sacrifice, and this time, very much unlike the time of Antiochus, the blood that desolated the sacred altar didn't flow from the carcasses of unclean pigs, but from the corpses of unbelieving Pharisees. This time, the Holy of Holies was not only desecrated by the defiling statue of a pagan god, but it was destroyed by the greed of despoiling soldiers, and the temple would never be rebuilt again.
Okay. Okay, so Jesus wasn't talking about future desecration.
Well, he was. He was talking about the future to him, and he identified that future precisely. So Jesus looked back at what happened in the second century under Antiochus. Daniel predicted what was going to happen 4 centuries before it happened. So Daniel was writing in the 6th century, predicted what would happen 2 centuries before Christ.
Okay.
Christ looked forward a generation and prophesied what would happen 40 years hence. So he looked 40 years into the future and said, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have been fulfilled. So it's past to us, but it was future at the time that Jesus spoke.
Okay, all right. So what Daniel spoke of and what Christ spoke of is one of the same.
Well, Christ looked at an abomination of desolation that actually took place in the 2nd century B.C. under Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes. And he used that abomination, which was absolutely riveted in the minds of his hearers, because every Hanukkah they celebrated freedom for the Jews under Judas Maccabeus. So the Hanukkah celebration ensured that they would never forget what happened under Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes. So Jesus now takes the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel, and he predicts that the same thing is going to happen, but now the temple is not just going to be desecrated, the temple is going to be destroyed and never built again.
Okay. All right.
Got it?
All right. I believe so. In other words, what you're saying, what Daniel spoke of was in the future, and what Christ spoke of was going to happen after his death.
After his death, yes, within a generation. So what happened when Jesus spoke was he identified the time frame by saying, truly, truly, I say unto you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have been fulfilled. Heaven and earth will pass away. My words will never pass away.
Right. Okay.
Okay?
Okay. Thanks a lot, Hank. Appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Eugene, you know, I tell you, a lot of people, they need a little patience to get through this stuff. And, I got to be aware of that. I've been dealing with this for a long time. I didn't come up with it immediately. It took some digging. So don't feel bad if it takes a while for you to catch the import of what's going on from both a biblical and a historical perspective. We're all learning together. Let's go back to the phone lines now. We're going to talk to Don. He's listening in Charlotte, North Carolina, WTRU. Hi, Don.
Yes, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well.
Well, I don't want to be long-winded, and I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I enjoy your show, by the way.
Thank you.
And I had an incident that happened to me year before last, and it kind of opened my eyes about some things. It made me start studying the Holy Scriptures a lot more. I had an encounter of seeing what a lot of people might call UFOs, but... And I know it sounds crazy, but I started studying the Bible because I was intrigued. The thing scared me. A person with a weak heart driving with me that night in Durham, when it happened, would have had a heart attack. But to make a long story short, I started reading the Bible because I haven't been the same since this experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I started reading something in the book of Genesis talking about the Nephilim.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know anything about this type of stuff, so I started getting real curious about this stuff. And I'm finding out that demons was having babies with humans, and this stuff sounds like Star Trek stuff. And then I said, well, it's in the Bible. Why don't churches talk about this stuff? And then I was looking in the book of Enoch, and he was talking about how these things took place, how these spirits, even like Goliath is offsprings of these people. And the Bible says, so as it was in the book of before his coming, when Noah, they're going to be doing that same stuff again, breeding with women. Do you think it's possible that what we are seeing is these demonic spirits that are out here in the air, in the atmosphere, that is doing these things, and they are influencing what's going on in government and things? You know, I'm thinking they won't have souls, but I'm just, you know, this thing is really... It's really got me spinning, Pastor.
Okay, well, what you have to do is just calm down, take a breath here, because you start with a flawed premise. The subjective experience that you had, I cannot analyze. I can tell you this, that hard evidence on UFOs is hard to come by. 80% or more of them can be attributed to natural causes. But I can't deal with that effectively. What I can deal with effectively is the objective word of God. And if you go to Genesis chapter 6, you do not have demons having sex with women and having offspring as a result of that. As I've said on this broadcast, that has more in common with Greek mythology than Christian theology. The sons of God there do not refer to fallen angels, nor can we presume in any sense that fallen angels have the power, the creative power, to make bodies and real fertile sperm, thus have sex with women. And by the way, your premise is correct. If we had the presupposition from a biblical perspective that demons did have creative power and could take on bodies and could produce fertile sperm, then they not only could do what they did in the past, but they could be doing it in the present. But the Bible simply does not allow for that. That has much more in common, as I said, with Greek mythology, where the gods had sex with women, than Christian theology. In Christian theology, each kind reproduces after its own kind. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Tyler. He's listening in Nebraska. Hi, Tyler.
Good afternoon, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
My question regards to Charles Spurgeon. I've been doing a little bit of finding to some of his past sermons and so on and so forth, and I just wanted to know kind of about your take on him, since I have a lot of respect of what you had to say, as well as his credibility. Can you divulge on that?
Well, I'll tell you, it was pretty interesting. Last night, I couldn't sleep. And so at 4:30 in the morning, I was reading a sermon by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He is oftentimes referred to as the Prince of Preachers, and he is one of the most quotable preachers of all times. I remember him saying, "Were you ever in the melting pot, dear friends? I have been there and my sermons with me. The result of melting is that we arrive at a true valuation of things, and we're poured out in new and better fashion." And then he said, "Oh, we may almost wish for the melting pot, if we may but get rid of the dross, if we may but be made pure, if we may but be fashioned more completely like unto our Lord." He didn't live a long, robust life. In fact, he had everything but his health. He died at age 57, and yet while he lived, he made his life count. He's regarded as history's most widely read preacher, and his sermons stand as the largest set of books by a single author in the history of the Christian church.
Wow.
So I think that his life bears eloquent testimony to the fact that the tragedy is not in dying young, but in living a large and healthy life and never using it for eternal values.
Mm-hmm. Good to know. I haven't been listening to another pastor, and then he brought his name up and quoted him several times, and I thought, you know, I'm going to do a little research on this, and I've come to it, and I found, you know, where a lot of his old sermons were archived that I could find on the internet, and I got to reading some of that, and I just wanted to make sure that, you know, I'm into something good.
Yeah, and, you are. I mean, you can gain a lot by reading the sermons of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, as I found at 4:30 in the morning. In fact, my wife woke up and she saw me on a ladder trying to get one of his books down from a high place. She was kind of laughing. What are you doing on that ladder?
Well, I appreciate your answers and keep up the good work. I appreciate it.
You got it. Of course, he said the old covenant was a covenant of prosperity. The new covenant is a covenant of adversity, whereby we're being weaned from the present world, made meat for the world to come. We'll be right back with more of your questions in just a few moments. So please don't touch that dial.
At the Christian Research Institute, we appreciate your support. Through your faithful prayers and contributions, you enable us to continue broadcasting and producing materials that are making a difference in the lives of people around the world. For your gift this month to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, we will send you The Forefront, When Doctrine Meets Daily Life, an audio compilation of 6 insightful interviews with leading experts and contributors to the Christian Research Journal covering crucial topics such as the biblical concept of family, atheism and morality, the killing of the Canaanites, evolution, biblical grounds for divorce, and a thoughtful examination of social media. To order the Forefront audio CD for your gift to the Christian Research Institute, give us a call at 888-7000-274 or go online to equip.org. But don't change the station. Hank will be right back in a moment. Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the Kingdom of Christ and the Kingdom of the Cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. Alaska. There's no better place on earth where you can experience God's creative power on display. Stretching beyond your imagination, it is a land of staggering natural beauty. Now you can join the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp, and Christian Research Journal Editor-in-Chief Elliot Miller for 7-plus inspiring days as you cruise into the grandeur of Alaska. During our time together, we'll unfold the pages of sacred scripture as we are strengthened in our belief in the divine creator of the universe. All of our sessions with Hank, your meals, accommodations, and 5-star cruise are included in one very low price. To participate in this event, you must register through Sovereign Cruises. Sign up by visiting equip.org or by calling Sovereign Cruises at 877-768-2784, extension 101. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition by Hank Hanegraaff is the culmination of over 20 years of faithful study and answering questions on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With short, succinct answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith, the Complete Bible Answer Book will give you confidence in what you believe and why you believe it. Written in Hank's concise, 3-point, easy-to-memorize fashion, the Complete Bible Answer Book is an essential tool for the beginner as well as the seasoned apologist. Consider it your one-stop Christian apologetics handbook. When you become a Bible Answer Man support team member, we'll send you the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition as our way of saying thank you. Order for yourself, a friend, or get a personalized copy when you call 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to equip you to think Christianly. Not only do we provide books, videos, and well-researched articles, but you can also listen to the broadcast live, download archived shows, get answers to pressing Bible questions, and follow our blog or connect with us on Facebook and Twitter. You can also sign up for our weekly e-newsletter and receive special benefits. All of this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. Well, now let's return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Once again, here's Hank.
Thank you very much, Randy. And a quick reminder that when you become a Bible Answer Man support team member, you commit to supporting the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute with your ongoing support of $15 or more monthly. And in appreciation of your support, you'll receive the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition personalized. You can request a personalized edition. It's as easy as going to equip.org/donate, select the Bible Answer Man support team, and then fill out the online form. This morning, early on, when I came into the office, I was signing books for those who joined the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, and thanking God for each and every one of you and writing down to the person a little note, thank you for your friendship and for your faithfulness. Sometimes I wrote something else, but in each case, thanking God for your support. For those that give $100 or more as a one-time gift, I'll also personalize a copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition. Remember, all the proceeds go 100% to furthering this ministry. They don't go to any individual, including myself, even though it's my book. I authored it. All proceeds, 100%, go to this ministry. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Kevin. He's listening in Kansas. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I have a quick question. In Genesis 2:24, I understand that, you know, we're taught that marriage in the eyes of God is between one man and one woman, and that Jesus teaches us in Matthew 19 anything outside of that would be considered, you know, adulterous. Sexual relationship anyhow. My question is, how come then? I understand that the Bible just gives us the facts that many men had multiple wives throughout history, but how come some of them, like David or Solomon or other guys like that, how come they weren't known as adulterers for their many wives, even though we know Scripture teaches marriage is one man and one woman?
Yeah, well, again, a good question, but the difference that we have in the Bible is a difference between what is descriptive and what is prescriptive. So what the Bible does is demonstrate the consequences that follow inexorably, like night follows day, when someone does something that is outside the will of the Lord. You certainly see that in the most graphic of terms with David's son Solomon. You see that in the end, Solomon's many wives and concubines turned his eyes away from the Lord. And so he died really in a miserable condition. When you think about it, he was building pagan shrines and altars to pagan gods for his pagan wives. So the edict is clear, Deuteronomy 17:17, memorable because of its address. You must not multiply wives. And if this was true for the kings, how much more was it true for the people? But polygamy was practiced in spite of God's warnings, in spite of the prescriptions that you find in Scripture. And you are correct to say Genesis 2:24 is a classic case in point in the New Testament, Matthew 19. But it doesn't end there. There are so many other passages that make clear the very point that you just made. A wife must not separate from her husband. It's never plural, not husbands.
Yeah.
And 1 Timothy points out that an overseer must be the husband of one wife, not multiple wives. So I think the principle is very clear in Scripture, but the Bible doesn't airbrush anything. It presents people with all their proclivities, with all their warts and moles and wrinkles, and thank God, God accepts us not because we're righteous, but rather because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I guess that kind of leads into my second question then, is since they didn't, you know, suffer the... This is something I've had, you know, people who were caught in adultery, did they go to damnation at the stoning of, you know, were they damned as soon as they were stoned to hell, or was there still grace and that was the temporal punishment for their sin?
Well, it depends. I mean, you have to look at it this way. The principle is inviolate. We are saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. That is true in the Old Testament just as it's true in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the patriarchs and the people looked forward to Christ through types and shadows. So they saw through a glass very dimly when it came to the atonement of Jesus Christ upon the cross. But yet through types and shadows, they looked forward to Jesus Christ, just as we look back at the cross. So we're saved in the same way. Abraham was saved prior to the time that he was circumcised. Not after, but before. Romans makes that clear, Romans 4. The same thing is true for every single person. We are sinners, and we're going to die in our sin. The presumption, though, is that if you are genuinely saved, if you have a genuine relationship with your Maker, that you are going to every day be conformed more and more to His image. Now, the closer you get to the brightness of His holiness, the more you see just how inadequate you are, but you are going to be conformed and transformed into His image over time. Now, we're all going to die in various states of sin, some more egregious than others. The real template points back to Christ's work, not our own.
So why do you think people, and it's a big deal, you know, I've heard people teach that if you die, you know, committing a specific sin, or if you've committed adultery and then you remarried, or all different kinds of things, that they'll say that you're damned and you're going to hell because your repentance is not genuine, because it hasn't fully led you out of that sin. How do they come up with that? Because for somebody like
You can't. It's just nonsense. I mean, it's nonsense. Okay. And all kinds of people spew all kinds of nonsense. That's why you have to use discernment skills and listen to the right people. And then test what they say in light of Scripture, because I'm certainly not infallible, but the Bible is, and therefore you got to test what I say in light of Scripture. But yeah, I mean, the reality is that if you are born again, you are justified not by your own righteousness, but rather by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And there are some sins that are very difficult to eradicate in our lives. They're like cords that bind us. And so we seek the righteousness of Jesus Christ, we seek sanctification, we are part of a body of Christ where we have accountability and each person helps us as we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need one another, as Romans 12 depicts, but we're all going to die in some state of sin. Thank God that we stand before Him. We're not going to stand before Him in the filthy robes of our all self-righteousness, but rather in the spotless robes of the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Great. Okay. Thank you very much.
You got it, Kevin. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Carol next. She's listening on the web in Hawthorne, New Jersey. Hi, Carol.
Hi, Hank. Am I on the air?
Yes, you are.
You know, I have a very serious question here. I'm extremely concerned about the May 21st, 2011 prediction. I actually have some friends and people that are so scared that they're not true believers. They're thinking of killing themselves if they're not true believers, because they're so afraid of this May 21st. Do you know anything? Can you enlighten us on that?
Yeah, in fact, it's interesting that you ask about that. We have been doing a countdown on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, as well as on the World Wide Web at equip.org. And if you go to the web right now at equip.org, you'll see that we have 85 days remaining till the Day of Judgment, according to Harold Camping. But the reason I don't take this seriously in the least is because he absolutely butchers the Scripture in coming up with his date, not to mention the fact that he has been wrong before. He was the one who said September 6, 1994, no one else can be saved, the end has come. And I remember back then saying, well, Mr. Camping, if you really believe that, why not transfer all your many assets to the Christian Research Institute, because we'll be able to use them after September 6, 1994. And he simply responded by saying I was part of the growing apostasy that's taking place in the church. But again, this guy is a guy who distorts Scripture. He doesn't know how to read the Scripture for all it's worth. This day will come and go, and once again he will fail in his prophecy. Once again, he'll be found to be a false prophet, because he is taking the Bible out of context in order to make his point. He is reading.
Have you read his books? Have you read We Are Almost There? And
yes, I have read his material. I've done research on his material.
Okay.
We did an article in the Christian Research Journal on Harold Camping. So, yeah, we have been well apprised of what he says.
Okay.
We are well apprised of how he comes up with his dates. It's all nonsense. And now, on top of everything else, he is teaching that God has done away with the church. He's teaching that there should be no more local congregations, no more elders, deacons, ordinances such as baptism or the Lord's Supper. You know that's wrong. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me until I come again. He maintains that the Holy Spirit has left the church an empty shell with no power to proclaim the gospel. And guess what? He's calling everyone to flee the churches and form fellowships around his teachings. So
right.
He has more theological hang-ups than a dry cleaner, but the biggest problem is he simply does not know how to read the Bible for all it's worth. He thinks a day is 1,000 years in his calculations.
How does that be? How does that get translated then?
A day is like 1,000 years. God does not render time as we render time. God stands outside of time. God is the creator of time. So God does not render time as we do. This has nothing whatsoever to do with the notion that he can come up with when things occurred, like when the flood took place and how to add 7,000 years to that and how to come up with May 21, 2011.
Okay. Are you familiar with the other ministries outside of Family Radio that's also preaching this, like E-Bible Fellowship, Chris McCann? Are you familiar with any of these others that also have come up with that date?
Yeah, heresy will beget heresy and error will beget error. You know, there are copycat crimes and there are copycat prophecy buffs, end time pin the tail on the Antichrist speculators who simply have never learned how to read the Bible for all it's worth. Let me guarantee you something. I'm doing it right here on live radio.
Yes.
I'm guaranteeing you 100% Harold Camping is wrong. The day will come and go, and we will once again see that he has produced just one more failed prophecy. We'll find out in 85 days if I'm right or if he's right.
Wow. Oh, boy. Yeah, because I was really confused about that because, you know, I've read a lot of the Old Testament and a lot of those verses in Jeremiah and Isaiah, they do seem to be talking about God's judgment on the church.
Well, here's what you need to do. You need to read the Christian Research Journal article that we produce called Harold Camping's Call to Flee the Church. Be happy to send it out to you. Also, I can send you some information on some of the end time speculations he's had in the past. He is a false prophet, he's a false teacher, and he's going to once again be demonstrated to be found wanting with his latest prophecy. Out of time for today's edition. See you next time, right here with more of the show.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in your walk with God, just go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-274, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is furnished by the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters. Archaeologists are regularly unearthing new discoveries about the ancient world, who lived where and when, what life was like at specific times in history. But according to some rather vocal skeptics, there is little or no historical evidence for the reliability of the Bible. Are these skeptics right? Is the evidence so lacking that we can no longer trust the Bible as the divine word of God? Hankanagraph dispels these myths and gives you a simple and memorable tool to know for certain that the Bible is the most reliable book in all antiquity in the archaeologist's spade. Our gift to you when you partner with the Christian Research Institute to defend the truth of the Bible. Help defend the truth with your gift and request the special booklet equipping you with the historical facts for the reliability of Scripture. You can call us at 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org to request your copy today.
We have assembled for the first time ever some of the great luminaries of the evidence for Christ in the world. These people have been assembled for one purpose, and that is to present the case for Christ to you. And in the end, it's your responsibility, your opportunity to come to your own conclusion in the case for Christ.
Based on Lee Strobel's best-selling book, The Case for Christ is now on DVD. One skeptical journalist:
I thought the idea of an all-powerful creator of the universe was just an absurd idea.
Investigates the most important story in history. Lee Strobel and biblical scholars explore the evidence for the life of Jesus.
Now, it would require more faith for me to maintain my atheism than to become a follower of Jesus Christ. Investigate the evidence for yourself.
The Case for Christ. Look for it on DVD.
To order, call 888-7000-CRI. That's toll-free at 888-7000-CRI. Find out more online at equip.org.